As you turn to James chapter 1, this is something that God really used to speak to me as I was studying this out and as I have heard messages on this before. Like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun, so please don't say, wow, you know, this message is so unique, because someone's preached it before, and I probably stole something from them. You know, there's Christian borrowing, you know. But when you think of a trial, a fiery trial in your life, there are things that have happened in all of our lives that have just laid us out flat on our backs. You know, you feel like you're in the middle of a burning, you feel like you're in a burning fiery furnace. Like you're standing in the middle of a boiling frying pan with lots of oil, turned up real hot, and there's nothing you can do. When you are in those trials, be they trials of sickness, you know, if you've ever been so sick you couldn't even get out of bed, all you could do was look at the ceiling, you couldn't even read because your eyes hurt, all you could do is, you know, put on something that you could listen to and just stare at the ceiling and pray. You couldn't get up. And you thought, God, you know, if only I didn't have this setback, I could be doing this for you. God, if only my car hadn't broken down, I could have done this for you. If only I hadn't lost my job, oh, what a setback. If only I had more money, what a setback. If only, you know, this family member hadn't passed away, we could have, you know, I could have shared more of the gospel with them. And we look at those trials and we think, God, what are you doing? And it's so difficult to be in the frying pan. But you know, the Apostle James has something to say to Christians in trials. He says this in James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As you read this and you hear James say, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials. You know, you may think, if only James knew what I was going through, he wouldn't have said that. Do you know why James wrote this? You remember the first church in Jerusalem? How there were, you know, thousands of people just added to the church within weeks. And they just were growing and they had all things in common and they loved each other. There were no church splits. They had fellowship in their homes. They shared food. They broke bread together. They sang. They all worshiped as one and it was beautiful. And then persecution got loose. And persecution got into the church. And probably families were split up. You see, when Pentecost happened, there were many people that were visiting Jerusalem because of the Holy Day. And when Pentecost happened and all the apostles were able to speak in different languages and the people heard the gospel and believed, they said, I can't leave here. This is where it's at. And they all stayed. And as the persecution started cutting loose, many of these people went back to their homes. They went back to where they had come from. And they started sharing the gospel there. And you can even see how God used evil for good. And when James thinks about these people that are battling persecution, they're running for their lives. Some of them had been facing the threat of being thrown into arenas with wild animals torn limb from limb. And to them, James says, brethren, count it all joy. Do your trials still stand up to those? How do they compare? Brethren, count it all joy. If this is going to mean anything to us, we need to look at our terms, define our terms. When you think about joy, maybe you think, oh, you know, that means I just have to smile in a trial. Ah, you know, smile and accept it. Well, joy is not the same thing as happiness. I'm a kind of a logical thinker, and I like to think in terms of, you know, lines and graphs. And as I think about happiness, I think of a wavelength. On the good day, you're happy and you're up, and then you're sick and you're just depressed and you feel down, and there's your happiness gone to pot, you know, and then you're happy the next day and then you're sad, but joy is not like that. See, joy is a constant. When you have joy, it's because you know that Jesus Christ lives inside of you. He is your reason for joy. No matter what comes, You can have that joy. Even in the worst situations, you can think about your salvation, what God's done in your life, knowing what's coming. And you can't help but smile because you have that joy. I heard this definition and I love it. I think it's so neat. Joy is an inner strength that comes from knowing that God is good and that God is sovereign. Joy is an inner strength that comes from knowing that God is good and that God is sovereign. So that means whenever you find yourself in a trial and you look and you say, oh man, God, how could you? You can look back and say, no, God is good and God is sovereign. And then you can come back to that joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. You know, if you can think back to the last trial that you had, do you think there was any way that you could have prepared for it? Could you have been ready for that trial? Maybe you could have won the lottery beforehand or something, but really, trials, they come and they're unexpected. There's really nothing you can do to prepare yourself for a death in the family or to become gravely sick. There's nothing you can do to prepare for it. But spiritually, you can get that joy ready. Because when you fall into that trial or temptation, you think about the guy that was walking in the story of the Good Samaritan, when he was this merchant that was headed to sell his wares, and these thieves fell in on him. He fell in among thieves. That's the idea here. When you fall into a trial, you're not expecting it, but there it is. It falls like a lightning bolt. And there's your trial. Count it all joy when you fall into those trials. You know, joy is not a natural or a logical response to trials. Isn't that right? What's our natural response? Oh, I heard a lot of good answers. Anger, fear, stress. You know, when these things come in the blink of an eye, it's almost like we can't, it's like a natural reaction, like a knee-jerk reaction. And when we think about these things, joy is not a natural reaction, but it is a mature reaction. It's a mature response to those who are walking with God. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. We can have joy because we know that trials produce patience. Well, when you're in those trials, sometimes that knowledge flees your mind. You don't always remember in the trial that this is going to produce patience in your life. And even if you did remember it, you might say, you know, God, I would just forego patience this time if you could just get me out of this trial. Because we're so now focused. We just want to, you know, escape the flames and just have everything be good. If it were up to us, we would never go through a trial. But guess what? Then we'd never have any patience either. You've probably heard the saying, don't ask God for patience. You know how God gives it? Through trials. It really is a trying of our faith. Because it's in those times that people say, God, where are you? God, how could you have let this happen? You all heard that in 9/11. Where was God? You're a Christian. How could God have let this happen? God is working out his good, no matter how difficult it is to understand and to fathom. And for the unsaved person, he's not spiritually minded. He can't even grasp it. But as Christians, we understand that God works out his good through apparently evil circumstances. If you remember the time when Jesus told his disciples to go before him across the Sea of Galilee, you remember that as they got into the ship and headed out, and right about in the middle, the storm came, didn't it? And they all stressed out, you know, these grown men as they were tossed to and fro in the middle of the storm, as they saw someone coming to them walking on the sea, they lost all sense of reason and said, it's a ghost! You know, grown men, really, guys? And as Jesus continued walking and got closer and got in the boat and said, oh, you of little faith. He said that, I believe, because they had forgotten his promise to them. He had told them, get in the ship and go to the other side. He didn't say, get in the ship and die in the middle of the sea. They had the promise of Jesus Christ. And we, when we're in those trials, we forget all the promises we have as Christians. We are seated in heavenly places. I will never leave you or forsake you. My God shall supply all your needs. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we forget all those things and trials because we're focused on the now. Get me out of this frying pan. God wants to work out something good in your life. We are troubled but not distressed, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, in Romans 5, 3, he says that tribulations work patience. In Colossians 1, 11, he says that we're strengthened unto all patience. When you think about going through a fiery trial, you think of your faith on a conveyor belt. You know, and here it goes. Here's the conveyor belt, and right in the middle is a big furnace. It's going to turn real hot when you get to the middle. But you get in there, and you're burning for a while, and when you come out, you're different, whether for the better or for the worse. Do you think that trials produce patience no matter how you respond? Because it says the trying of your faith works patience. Well, what if I go through trial A and I respond with bitterness and anger towards God? Am I going to come out better with more patience? Probably not. What if I respond with joy after this first trial? Well, if I respond with joy, no matter how difficult it is to muster up or remember that God is in control and God is good, I come out with a little bit of patience. You know, and there's trial B. You go through, respond with joy, you come out and your patience is a little bit bigger. Trial C, you go through with joy, and your patience is a little bigger. And God grows your patience through trials. God has something good in mind for you at the end. Let patience, it says, have her perfect work. I mentioned the fact of going through a conveyor belt and being in the fire there. You know, so many times when we're in those fiery trials, if you could picture yourself right now standing in a frying pan, what would be your first reaction? Hop out, right? You wouldn't purposely stay in there and burn your feet up. You would want to get out as fast as possible. Remember what happened with those three young men who were thrown into the fiery furnace? Even beforehand, can you imagine that trial of their faith? If you don't bow down, you're dead. And here they said, guys, we're not bound. And so Nicodemus, that's the name. Nebuchadnezzar, thank you. Nebuchadnezzar took them, brought them right in front of his throne, and he said, maybe you guys didn't understand the direction. See, I said, bow down when you hear the music. And they said, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Be it known to you that our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will never bow. And couldn't you just picture Nebuchadnezzar? I mean, really. And he grabs them and he takes his men and he throws them into this furnace built up 7 times hotter than usual. And they're bound and thrown into the furnace. And then he looks again and he doesn't see only three. And they're not tied up anymore. There are four. Anyone remember what they're doing in the furnace? What are they doing? Walking. Who are they walking with? Wow. That's it. Do you know what God wants you to do, brother, sister, when you're in a fiery trial? Do you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to walk with Jesus. As difficult as it is to stay in the fire, to stay in the hot seat, our natural reaction is to jump ship. Get me out of here now! Does God hear our cries? Yes. But are you cutting short your blessing because you want to get out fast? Persevere. Stay in the fire. Hold Jesus' hand. Walk with him. God has something great in mind for you. I remember when I was little, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I was working in the basement. We had a ping pong table in our basement. And on top of there, I had spread out all my Legos. And I love Legos. To this day, I love them. And I can remember this one time, I was walking around the table, I was looking for this one piece, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And even at that tender age, I knew that God knew everything. And I knew that God was trying to teach me something. And I said, okay, God, I know you know exactly where this piece is. Could you show it to me, please? Just show me where it is. And I started walking around the table. I said, God, I know it's here somewhere. Could you just show me where that piece is, please? I kept on walking, you know, got a little more aggravated. God, where is it? But just where, really? I mean, is it in the middle, on the edge? Where is it? And I got so aggravated, I said, fine, I failed the test. Now could you tell me where it is? And I think it's so weird that at that tender age I understood that God was trying to teach me something. I just didn't have the maturity to stick it out. And even now, guess what? I have those same tendencies. God, get me out of here now. I can't stand it. There is nothing that has come upon you that you cannot stand with Jesus. He wants you to stick it out, to keep your head in the game. Cry out to Him, yes, but don't lose hope. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. When you think about that patience that's matured through the fire, and as you stay in the fire, God is making something beautiful that you have no idea what it is. God is turning your faith into something more precious than gold. We see in 1 Peter how suffering, trials, produce that result. But in the same way that trials purify true faith, you think also of when Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed and the four types of ground, the good ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the hard ground. Well, the thorny ground, I believe it is when they have no root in themselves, but they spring up real fast, and those are the ones that receive the word with joy. But after a time, persecution comes and hard times, and they fall away. And they're burned up and they're dried up because the word says they have no root. No root, no fruit. When false faith goes through the fire, what happens to it? It's burnt up. When true faith goes through the fire, what happens? Comes out better. Comes out as gold. You may see these trials in your life and look at them and say, what a setback. Man, God, if only. But God, in His wonderful grace and mercy, you know, if you look at that trial and you think, this trial had to pass through God's filter of love in order to get to my life, that means God wants me to have it. That means I need to look at God and say, God, as impossibly difficult as this is for me to say, thank you for this trial. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you believe that God is in control of your life, then you have to believe that everything that comes into your path is for your good. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. God doesn't mean things that come into your life as setbacks for you. He means them as set forwards. God wants you to come out better, a better Christian, a more mature Christian, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Could you imagine, picture yourself in a future time where every time you have a trial, you respond with joy. Can you imagine yourself like that? Every time you have a trial, you respond with joy. What kind of a Christian are you? Mature. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Don't jump ship. Keep trusting God. Keep walking with Jesus, and you'll come out as gold.